Romans 8. Turn, if you will, in Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. If you got Jesus, you've got it all. I tell you. And you're safe and you're secure in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, let's start with verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we are on the winning side. God, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, our prayer is that the Holy Spirit will move into their heart this morning, that they might come and receive you as their Lord and Savior. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Paul in this scripture says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Romans is a deep doctrinal discussion, but I believe God reduces it all down to one sentence. Listen again. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Baptists believe in the old stated scripture and are the doctrine of security of the believer. That just simply means once you're saved, you're always saved. It never seems to click in some people's mind that they're saved and they're safe in Christ Jesus. If you've got Jesus in your heart, you ask him to come into your life, you are safe and you are saved. You can never lose that salvation. A lot of people live underneath the blessings that God wants them to have because they're always worried, am I saved or am I not? Am I going to make it to heaven or am I not? Am I secure in Christ or am I not? You are secure in Christ. I want you to get that. Once you're saved, once you believe in Jesus Christ and put your trust in him, that God has raised him from the dead, you confessed him as your Lord and Savior, you will be with him in heaven when you die. Folks, you ought to be safe. You ought to be secure. Now, let's look at that verse of Scripture, and let's look at this passage of Scripture. It says, if God is for us, that is a presuppositional, not a question. It simply says, God is on our side. Amen? Brother Jay's awake. I don't know about the rest of you. Boy, you ought to say, praise God. Let's say that together. God is for us. Say, God is for us. Do it again. I didn't hear you. God is for us. All right. You're awake now. Praise the Lord. God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us, folks? You know, God desires that we live an abundant life. And you can't live that if you're always hanging your head, wondering, oh, am I saved? Did I do it right? Oh, there's got to be something more than this. Somebody asked me not long ago, said, preacher, I don't know if I got saved or not. Seemed like there's got to be more than just trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior. Yeah, you've got to repent. That means you've got to turn your life around. But if you've asked Christ and you desire Him to live in your life, you have repented of your sins, you're sorry for them sins, you've asked Him to come in and be your Lord, God is on your side. He is for you. You are safe. You see, God desires life for us. He desires us to live an abundant life. He tells us, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He came that you might have joy in your life. You can't have joy if you're always wondering about your word about your salvation. Peace, He said, I came to give you peace in your life. Friends, we need to know the peace of God in our life. If in God we have put our trust, the psalmist says, in God I have put my trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Nothing. In Christ I have put my trust. This is one affirmation here that ultimately you're going to be with Christ. No one can prevail against you because you are in Christ. This morning, I was saved May 5th, 1975. A Christian has many experiences, but I never will forget that experience in Christ. It wasn't a blinding light from the highway. I wasn't driving down in my car when He spoke to me. I didn't do a lot of things. Praise the Lord, I didn't do all them things. I just got saved one day. Man, Christ began to speak to me inside of Eastside Baptist Church, and He kept speaking to me, and He kept speaking to me, and said, you need to get saved. And man, I felt that in my heart, with all my being, I felt, I need to get my life right with God. And I stepped out by faith, trusted Him as my Lord and Savior, and guess what? I got saved. God is with me. Nobody can take that away from me because nobody but God gave it to me. And folks, I didn't try to save myself. It was God that did the saving. I don't have to hold on to God because He's holding on to me. And nothing is more powerful than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you could lose your salvation, then there would be somebody or something more powerful than God. And there's just not anybody any powerful than God. You see, God does the saving. So we don't have to worry about if we're saved. When Christ saves you, you'll know it. No man can prevail against me. Now let me tell you something. A Christian has many enemies out there. They're all out there. Oh, if you're a Christian, you probably got more enemies than that old sinner does. Because the whole world is against Christ. The devil is against Christ. You've got to watch out for the old devil. But greater is He that is within me now, because I've asked Him to come in my life, than he that's in the world. And that's the devil. So when the devil tries to do something to you, just quote that verse. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. No man shall prevail. And folks, when you get up in the morning, you dress in the whole armor of God. You ask God to guide your steps that day. You put on that helmet of salvation, that breastplate of righteousness. Get all the way down to your shoes, preparation with the gospel of Jesus Christ on your feet. And you walk out of that house in the morning thinking about how great God is. And you think about how great God is all day long. God has done the greatest conceivable thing in the world for us. You know what He did? He gave His only begotten Son. You know, we're sinners. Every single one of us. We're sinners. We just can't seem to get it straight, get it right. But God so loved me that He gave His Son for me. Think about that. And God loves you this morning. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you know what? God sent Him to die for you. Now, what are you going to do with Him? You going to trust Him as your Lord and Savior, or are you going to reject Him? That's only two choices you got. You either ask Christ to come into your life, or you refuse to let Him come into your life. And the Bible says one day we'll die. If we die with Christ, then we're going to live with Him in heaven. I prepared for you a mansion up there, He said. Don't worry about death. Man, death is a doorway to eternal life with Jesus Christ. If we trusted Him as our Lord and Savior, if you refuse Him this morning and you go out of here without Christ and you die, then He says you will live forever. I thought you was going to die, preacher. Yeah. No, you live forever. But you will live forever in a place called hell. And the Bible says there is no escape there. There's a great gulf fixed. You'll forever be lost. Think about that. Have you ever been lost? Man, I was down in the river bottom one night hunting ducks, and I got lost. That is the most helpless feeling in the world, to be out there and not know where you're at. Boy, you know what you do when you're lost? If you're smart, you'll turn to God. I begin to pray, said, Lord, you know, there's rivers out here, and it's deep. I'm lost. Lord, I don't know how to get out of this place. You just get turned around. You have no directional sense whatsoever. But I remembered what God says in His Word, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And God gave me a brain. It's a small thing, but He gave me one. I went back to my early training, and my dear old uncle said, Booney, if you ever get lost, and I thought, oh, I'm lost. Look at the North Star. It's always there. And go follow it. You know, I began to look around that sky, and I said, Lord, find that star. There's only a trillion or so up there, you know. I said, find that star for me. Then I remembered my teaching. He says, you look at the Big Dipper, find the Big Dipper. It's a lot easier. And those last two stars on that Big Dipper is pointing towards the North Star. And I looked, and I saw the North Star, and I said, thank you, Lord. And I started moving in that direction because I knew north was the way home. And in a little bit, I heard cars crossing the old bridge. And I said, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm going to get out of here. I got out of there. It was about 11 o'clock when I walked into the house. But I got out of that, and I thank God for leading me. You know, but I praise God. If I'd have stepped off in that river, I'd have still been His child. And I'd have probably been in my heavenly home. But you know what? If you don't know Jesus Christ, boy, to be lost, no way out, eternal lost. God said, I gave my Son for you. That if you would put your trust and faith in Him. Now this morning, people say all the time, well, I believe there's a God. But there's more in believing that. It's putting your faith, your trust, your life in Christ. Just about everybody out there believes in a God. But it's the faith and life in Jesus Christ. You agree with Him. Lord, I am a sinner. And you admit, I need the Savior to direct my life, to guide my life. And you ask Him to come in. Just simple childlike faith. Lord, would you come into my life? That's all I did that May. I just asked Christ to come into my life. And then I stepped out and made it public. I said, preacher? He said, I know. You want to recommit your life to Christ? No, I said, I want to give my life to Christ. I have never been saved. Oh, there was a joy. There was an abundant joy in my life that day. A relief from all the hiding and all the deception that I'd done for years. I didn't know it'd be so sweet. Man, I followed through with baptism. Oh, it was a great day, a great day. But God says He is for us. And folks, I know that He's for us right now. He wants us to have life. He's done that greatest thing by giving His Son. And He says, therefore, if He's given His Son, will He not do the lesser things for us also? He will protect us and watch over us if we're saved. No wonder the old psalmist wrote that psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Man, listen to what He does for us. He leads me beside still waters. That speaks of refreshment. Joy, letting God lead us and guide us. He restores my soul. Now, how many of you need your soul restored today? Boy, we all do, don't we? Sometimes we just get down. Sometimes we feel like the world is going to crush us in. And let me tell you, if you don't know the Lord, the world just crushes you sometimes. People say, well, I just don't see any way out of life. In Christ, He restores our soul. And then the Bible says He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Boy, He leads us through His Word. He guides us. Oh, every day He leads me in the right way for His name's sake. Yea, He says, though I walk through that valley of the shadow of death. Let me tell you something. If you ride with Tony, I rode with Tony one time. I'll never do it again. He likes to talk. He don't have to have a cell phone to talk, brother. But I like Tony. He's a good guy. All you senior adults riding with him on that bus, you better pray up. I heard the other day he was going to drive y'all to Dallas, and immediately I went into fasting and praying. Whew. God will walk through you through the valley of the shadow of death. Folks, there's many times in my life that I realized that I was in that valley of the shadow, and I said, Lord, if You don't get me out of this, I'll never make it. And you know what? He was right there. And it really didn't matter if I made it or not, because He was with me there. And if it'd been time for me to go then, that would be great. But He chose to leave me. And He said, I will fear no evil. Why? For the Lord is with me. Thy rod and His staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and my cup just runs over. It doesn't matter where you're at with God. Your cup ought to be running over, folks. You know, today, running over. He anointed my head with oil. Man, the Holy Spirit just fills our life, and life just gets better and better and better and better. And then at the end of our life, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I know I'm safe. I know I'm secure in Christ Jesus. That is the greatest blessing I believe one can have, to know Jesus and know Him in a way that you're safe. You don't have to worry about if the doctor comes in and says, you know, Mooney, I found cancer in your body. I'm still safe. Bad news, but I'm still safe. I'm all right. If the doctor comes in and tells you you're going to live to be 100, I don't know if I wanted that or not, but I'll do whatever God wants. I'd be as old as Howard. I hope I can get around like him. You know that little guy on TV says, and I'm 72 and I feel great. Howard, you could do that, and you could say, I'm 92 and I feel great. Amen. You see, God is for us. And then he says, who can be against us? Nobody. You know, Paul, look at what it says in verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? He pictures a judgment scene here in a courtroom. Who can bring a charge against God's elect? Who will bring anything against? Now, there may be some that try to bring charges against us, even old Satan himself. But no one can successfully bring such a charge against God's believer. You know why? The judge is on our side, folks. The judge is on our side. The judge is the only person who can condemn, and he is the one who set me free. Think about it. Nobody can bring a charge against me because God is the judge. He's on my side. He's the one that set me free. Christ died for me. Now, in his court, there's no appeals. I sign these people to get found guilty, and they appeal, and they appeal, and they appeal. There's no appeal in God's court. The counsel for the defense has already done everything. He died for you. He died for the guilty. The Bible says we're sinners. And if we're saved, we're saved by the grace of God in his death, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Nobody can bring a charge against God's elect. He's taken all the punishment upon himself. He went to the cross. Not only that, he overcame death. And the Bible says he's risen and seated at the right hand of God, where he is there making what? Intercession for us. Isn't that good news? God is for us. But the best of all, the counsel for the defense is the judge's only beloved son. I think that's kind of rigged jury, isn't it? Amen. You've got him on our side, and he's the judge. And then Paul says, look at 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And then Paul goes into this long thing, says, tribulation? You know what that is? That's great misery. Tribulation can't separate us from the love of God. Distress? Now, distress is pain and anxiety. A lot of people today are anxious for nothing. But, you know, that can't separate you from the love of God. It says persecution. Paul certainly knew all about persecution. And that means to persecute, to injure. He was stoned. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. But no, he says, persecution can't separate us. And then he was hungry, famine. Now, he knew what it was to be with, and he knew what it was to be without. And he said, that cannot separate you. Nakedness, that's destitution. You may not have anything, but that can't separate you from God's love. Peril, to harm or injure, that can't separate us. Nor sword. You know what sword is? That's death. But that can't separate you from the love of God. Even in death, this was his experience. And then, you know, it was the experience of the people in the Old Testament. For your sakes, we are killed all the day long, and we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. But, you know, nothing. In the book of Hebrews, it says they were stoned, they were beaten, sawed under, cut in half, slain all day long. But he says they were not separated. They were more than conquerors, it says, through him who loves us. Folks, you are safe in Christ. Now, the key to that is to be in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're not safe. I forget the name of the preacher who preached that sermon about sinners in the hands of angry God. Who's that, Brother Jay? Who's that, Brother Bill? Who?
Whitfield.
Okay. But he pictured sinners hanging by a thread over a fire. You know, that thread could break at any time. Life is like that. Your heart's beating. It might stop. Somebody said the other day, you know, I'm in good shape. My heart's in good shape. I don't have to worry about dying. Man, you're crazy. You don't have to worry about dying if you're in Christ, but that heart can stop at any time. You know, you just might walk around the corner and see the ugliest person you've ever seen die right there. You never know. Scare you to death. What about the future? What about the future? Look at what the Bible says. Can anything arise that will threaten our relationship? And he gives a four-dimensional reality here. No state of existence can separate us from Christ. And he begins with death. That is the great enemy of life, ultimate enemy. Yet Jesus Christ said, I overcame death. The sting of death is gone. He took the stinger out of that old death. The grave cannot hold him. Won't hold you either. To die is the only more of Christ, Paul says. To die is gain. To live is Christ. To die is gain. No invisible, he says, or supernatural power can separate us from Christ. That's talking about angels and demons, all the mysteries of the unseen. They cannot separate you from Christ. No span of time can separate us from the love of Christ. No vastness of space can separate us from Christ. Nothing, it says. Man, unless he omits something, Paul said, anything else in all of creation can't separate you from Christ. Nothing, nothing, nothing. If you are in Christ, you are safe and secure. You can take comfort in those two words. I am safe, I am secure, because God is with us. Now, you're safe and secure if you're saved. If you're not saved, you're not secure. The choice is yours today. I'm going to give an invitation. If you don't know that you're safe and you don't know you're secure, you're probably without Christ. Because if you know you have him, you'll know it. I think it was old Oral Roberts used to say, you know that you know that you know that you know God is right here. And if you know Jesus Christ, you know he's right here. And you're safe and secure. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Right above that, I didn't read that, but let me read that real quick. Right above that, he says, moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, these also he glorified. That word glorified tells us that we're already. I'm just as good as in heaven right now. I'm just living down here for Christ. I'm making my journey through life. But I've already been glorified in Christ Jesus. He sees me as already there. I've got a mansion in heaven. Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He didn't say, Booney, you may be there. No, he said, you will be there. I am safe and secure. Is that your life today? You're safe in Christ and you're secure. If you don't know him, would you simply get up and come forward? We're going to have an invitation. And that invitation is for the lost. You need to come, you come right now. Don't put it off. The saved, if you're saved and you're secure, you just need to get right with God for something. You get down here on your knees and you get right with God so that revival can break loose in your life. Some of you are saved and you may be doubting it because you got sin in your life. If you got sin in your life, whew, you need to get it right. And some of you here today are looking for a church home. If God's led you here, you're coming here, why not join us? All you have to do is come and I'll be glad to share with you how you can join this church. Let's stand.